site. The title, like Mr. Rank said, is Going Forward. Now, usually, once we get home from the feast, and after a few weeks, the impact of the feast starts to wear off, and we sometimes get into the doldrums. The days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, and in the Northern Hemisphere and parts of the United States, the temperature's cooler. And you can be there where it snows and freezing. And it might not leave the ground till the early spring, so you have this long period of winter that you're faced with. Unlike bears, which can hibernate, you have to go through all this. Of course, in the South, they don't have that issue, so that doesn't mean that they are not affected by the doldrums. It's just they have a better climate to go through. We have to stay focused and stay on course as we watch the deterioration of society, and today is a good example of that. You turn on the TV and they got a war in Israel. You know, the leaders are becoming more despotic. Our schools, which are not teaching the basics in math and science, in fact, I think on a worldwide basis, we're probably the last in those areas, but they teach twisted, perverted things, which even recently they hired a drag queen to be a principal of a school. I mean, what kind of choice is that? What kind of example and message are you sending when you hire people like that to be, you know, to be over your children in school? Children can go gender allocation surgery without parents' knowledge, or even have an abortion without the parents' knowledge. I mean, it's just unheard of. City streets in some cities are filled with drug addicts. Crime has increased to the point where some companies are just leaving certain areas. They're moving out. It's just more than they can handle. Crime is not punished in all of this. And we have to try to survive. It's really challenging these days. The problem is there's no consequence for sin anymore. You know, they know they can get away with it. They won't get arrested, so they just blatantly walk into a place and steal what they want. I mean, it warmed my heart. I don't know if you saw this on TV, but this guy walks in with a huge garbage can into the store, and he's just filling it up off the shelf. And there were East Indians that were running the store, so they grabbed the guy, and they threw him on the ground, and one guy came out with a huge stick. I mean, talk about that scripture, don't be afraid to use your rod against your son. And he was wailing on him. And this guy felt sorry for him after a while. He was literally crying like a little girl after a while. And then they picked him up, and they says, don't come back, and don't do this again. So they escorted him out. Well, they were going to charge this guy, but there was such a backlash of people saying, you can't charge him. So they dropped the charges, but people are not punished for their things that they do. It's just pathetic. We mustn't lose sight of our responsibility outlined in Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. So Christ is the head of the church. He's always backing us up, which is very encouraging. This is what we have to do, but it's not like we're left alone. He's backing us up, and he's there, blessing our efforts all the way, which is very, very encouraging. And also in Matthew 24, these are scriptures we're all familiar with. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So it's not going to, the end is not going to come until that commission has been accomplished. Now, preaching the gospel and warning the nations of impending doom because of sin, that's one of our responsibilities. Feed the flock. And individually grow in grace and knowledge. So it's kind of like a three-fort responsibility that we have. And we mustn't let up in any of these things, especially when you get away from the feast. I mean, it's so great an environment with fellowship. Sometimes we It's the first time in a year since we've seen each other, and there's such a wonderful spirit here. And you get out back into the world, and you know what the spirit of the world is like. It's just the opposite. And through all that, we have to endure. And Matthew 24:13, you don't have to go there because you're familiar with it. It says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So there's an effort that we have to put in to endure till Christ returns or till we die. That's the bottom line. The reward is great, and you just have to hang in there. Of course, the preaching to the world will be completed by the two witnesses. So when our work is done, it's futile to try to figure out exactly when Christ is going to come back. He warns against that. He said he didn't even know, and the angels didn't know, only God the Father. But God will determine when we have completed our part of it. And then, of course, it says, pray that you may be worthy to escape. And then the rest of the commission will be completed by the two witnesses, because during the tribulation, it's going to be hard to do anything. The preaching of the gospel will be literally impossible. So we have to keep our shoulder to the plow as God reveals. And obviously some will be protected through the tribulation. Let's turn over to Luke 9 and verse 62 in this regard. In Luke 9:62, this is Christ speaking. But Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So he's admonishing you and us, all of us, when you determine to go forward with this job that we have of preaching the gospel, you've got to keep going. It's not a question of, looking back. He means here, you're going to give up the job or quit halfway. That's not an option for us. When you put our hand to the plow, you've got to keep moving forward through thick and thin, and sometimes it does get a little tough. We're all going to go through trials. None of us are trial-free. And you can't look back like Lot's wife, who was yearning to go back to that old way and thinking, I don't know what she was thinking, to tell the truth. They were escaping total destruction, yet she yearned to go back. And let's just look at that in Genesis 19. I guess, in a sense, it's kind of hard for us to think about. There was an urgency to get out of the town. They were told total destruction is coming, and yet you want to go back? It doesn't make sense, but nevertheless, that is what's happened in this case. And in Genesis 19 and verse 22, it says, hurry, escape from there. There was an urgency, for I cannot do anything until you are there. This is what the angel's talking. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And verse 23, the sun had risen upon the earth, and when Lot entered Zoar, then, notice, after he was protected, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So her punishment was for looking back and desiring to go back was pretty severe. She turned into a pillar of salt. But the destruction didn't come till they were safe. And you have the same principle when Noah went into the ark. Christ closed the door, and then sudden destruction comes. So that's a good lesson for us in the future. It says when they say peace, peace, then sudden destruction will come. Because, see, it's unexpected. People expect things to go on this way forever. It's not going to happen that way. So that attitude can be very costly of wanting to turn back. Of course, the reward, if you turn to Revelation 3, the other side of the coin, Revelation 3, it says, because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So there is a reward for persevering, for hanging in there, and that is protection from the hour of trial, which we understand is a 3.5-year period, which will come upon the whole world. So it's not just one part of the world that's going to suffer problems and issues. It's the whole world. And we can be protected from that if we are faithful and holding on and doing our part. And Luke 21, verse 36, an admonition from Jesus Christ. In Luke 21, 36, he says, "Watch therefore and pray always." So it's not just a question of watching, we've got to pray about it, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass. And everything that he itemized in Matthew 24, it is going to come to pass. Nothing is going to be not come to pass. And then to stand before the Son of Man, which would be a great honor to be there standing when Christ returns. So it's certainly okay to pray that you may be worthy to escape the problems and destruction coming. But you cannot do this ignoring growing in grace and knowledge and filling your physical responsibilities of preaching the gospel to the world. We have to persevere and not quit in order to be saved in the place of safety during the tribulation. Indications are some will not endure to the end and will fall away at the time of the great falling away, which is impossible to fall away from pagan religions. You can only fall away from the truth. And if you go over to Matthew 24 and verse 12, it gives us the reason why you have a falling away. And verse 12 of Matthew 24, it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." So you have an increase in sin and a decrease in the love of God, and it grows cold. And it's because of sin, basically, because lawlessness and sin. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I want to cover that. You know, sometimes life is not a cakewalk or an easy thing to go through, but Paul set us a perfect example of going through trials. And in 2 Corinthians 11, they're kind of itemized in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, he starts off, "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." So that's 39 stripes, 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, and 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have us been in the deep. And going on here in verse 26, "In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among the brethren." I mean, it looks like he was in perils in every kind of situation you could think of. There wasn't a place that was safe without perils. "In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often sleepless nights, in hunger and thirsty, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides all these things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." I mean, he goes through all these things and he still has a responsibility to take care of the churches and to set the example for them. And let's look at Hebrews 11, some of the trials that the former saints have gone through. They're itemized in Hebrews 11. Just giving us an idea that some of the things that Paul and people that are faithful to God in the past had to go through. We may not have to go through the same type of trials, but they all endured. Over in Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel the prophets." In verse 33, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." So God backed them up when they were fighting their enemies, and They fled from before them. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain what? A better resurrection. They went all through this because they knew there was a better resurrection coming. Still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. So some had to be scourged and suffer chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, tempted, were slain with a sword. So some of these individuals went through a lot. Wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony, so the testimony, what they did was great, through faith, because they had a lot of faith, did not receive the promise. So they didn't receive the promise. They're in their graves waiting for the promise when Christ returns at the resurrection. So notice, I mentioned that, you can only fall away from the truth is what the Bible states for us, and we have to stay engaged in the commission, the preaching of the gospel of warning the world. If we do these things, brethren, our reward is guaranteed. It's guaranteed in Christ, and God cannot go back on their word. We are truly in a race, as Paul stated, we must finish it to get our crown, and which is rulership with Christ in the millennium. You can't have a better promise than that after all, and you know, the suffering and trials that you go through in life, to receive a white robe of righteousness and a crown which won't perish, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. I mean, tell me where you can get something better than that. So let's make sure we hang in there and do our job as commissioned by God.